I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
SEC championship game is the favorites winning out in Arkansas, upsetting Missouri, who is at best average, and then LSU goes to Atlanta, and I guess you'd see what happens from there. But of course, first things first, you got to figure out what the hell happened on Saturday night and fix that. Now let's move on to immigration. If you have any questions or comments about the immigration problems that we have in this country, please text them to 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. There is so much misinformation and disinformation out there. I thought we'd spend an hour with David Beer, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute, and take a deep dive into it, what we've seen under the Biden administration, what we've seen under the previous Trump administration, and what we're likely to see in the next Trump administration. And with that, we welcome in David Beer. How you doing, David?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time. So let's start, I guess, with Immigration 101. If somebody wants to come to the United States from another country, what is the proper process for them to do that?
Well, it really depends. If you're marrying a U.S. citizen, it's pretty straightforward. Depending on whether you've ever broken immigration law before. If you have, then it's going to be a problem. If you haven't, then it's pretty much a straightforward process. It might take a couple years to get through, but it's, you have a path there. If you're a more extended family member, a brother or sister, an adult child who's trying to immigrate, you're going to be waiting at least a decade, if not two or three decades, for the chance to immigrate through those processes. If you're being sponsored by an employer, I don't have enough time to explain to you all the regulations that they place on employers trying to hire foreign workers. It is extensive. The bottom line is you're looking at a three-year process, and it's extremely costly to the employer. So unless you are a very high-wage worker, odds are you're not getting through the employer-sponsored immigration system. And even if you do, you're looking at a very long wait time before you can come because of not only the processing, but then the cap. So you have to wait for a cap spot to become available. For many people, you're again looking at a decade wait to get in through that process. So then you have a lot of temporary visas kind of picking up the slack for this really outdated and bureaucratic processes for coming to the United States. And so you have the H-1B visa for temporary high-skilled workers. That's a lottery. You have 85,000 slots. You got 300,000 people applying typically. Again, odds aren't great on that one. And then for low-skilled folks, you have the H-2A and H-2B visas. These are only for seasonal jobs in seasonal agriculture for the H-2A or seasonal non-agriculture for the H-2B. So those are your pathways, and they're quite limited, and exclude most of the jobs in our economy are not jobs that don't even qualify for these temporary visas.
Say that part again about the jobs in the economy don't qualify?
Most of the jobs in our economy don't have a temporary work visa at all available to them. Because for the low-skilled guys, you're only talking about the seasonal jobs being available at all. And then you have the H-1B for high-skilled, so that's only for bachelor's and above. Most of the jobs in our economy don't require a college degree, so they're not eligible for the H-1B. Most of them aren't seasonal jobs or temporary jobs. So those are all excluded. So most jobs in construction, dairies, meat packing and processing, these are the types of jobs that are just systematically excluded from our legal immigration system.
Give me an example of a seasonal agricultural would be, I guess, like picking fruit, right?
Yeah, so a lot of it's apples up in Washington. You're looking at peaches in Georgia. So a lot of that type of very labor-intensive agriculture requires a lot of workers, and they come in on a seasonal basis. The non-seasonal stuff is going to be the dairies, a lot of the livestock. You know, that's just, you need somebody all year round to do that job. And for those people, unfortunately, they're out of luck through our current immigration system.
So who is doing those jobs? Wait, they're out of luck with the H2 seasonal non-agricultural. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Because they're out of luck? Why are they out of luck?
They're out of luck because it's a year-round job. And the government says you have to have it has to be a seasonal job to qualify for those visas. Who is doing those jobs? Well, it's a lot of the people who are crossing the border illegally and coming in, and either they're just blending into the population and borrowing identification to apply for a job, but many of them apply for asylum, which opens up the opportunity to get a work permit temporarily and apply for any job they like through that procedure.
All right, let me go back to illegal immigrants that are working at the meatpacking plants and the non-seasonal jobs.
Yeah.
Why aren't Americans doing those jobs?
Well, if you look at the labor force participation rate, the employment rate for prime age Americans, it's about 81-82% of the population, which is near a record high. And so then the other people who are in that 25 to 54 age range, most of them, there's some retirees. Of course, there are a lot of wives and other parents at home with their children. And so that's where you're really not going to get that much higher than that. And so when jobs become available, they're looking for higher paying, higher, better quality jobs. I mean, these are not the highest quality jobs in our economy. And so, they're preferring other jobs to agriculture, to dairy. This type of work is just not meat packing. I mean, this is really grueling work that they're, there are better options out there. It's really the short answer for why Americans aren't applying for these jobs.
All right, let me ask it a different way. If it were not for, as I understand it, the people, and I'm not making a case either for or against, I'm just asking, if these people were not in a country illegally filling these jobs, what would happen then to the companies that are using these people that are here illegally? Or are they here legally and then they apply? Take me through that part, David, because I'm confused.
Yeah. It's not entirely clear what you call them. Most people call them illegal immigrants, but many of them are here with government permission. They're waiting for an application in some asylum proceeding, and so they have work authorization. They can work legally while their case is going through the courts. And so, from the employer's perspective, they're legal. They're not doing anything wrong by hiring them. And so, if they weren't there, they would shrink production. Really what these workers allow these companies to do is produce more chicken or milk or whatever the case might be. And that's a benefit to us as consumers because they're producing more than they otherwise would. If they, if production decreased enough, of course, Americans would resort to importing a lot of these products from other countries. As long as that's an option available to them.
When you said while they wait for their case to be heard, case to apply to be a permanent worker or a permanent immigrant worker, not necessarily a case of persecution or anything, right? Or what's the word I'm thinking of?
Yeah, asylum.
Asylum.
A case, you know, protection from persecution, torture. Yeah. So for the in those cases, yeah, it's pretty much if you have a work authorization, then you probably applied for asylum because that's the trigger to be able to apply for work authorization. Now, there's a whole other group of people who have been let into the country legally through parole, which is basically a discretionary status that the executive branch can grant to people for humanitarian reasons. Those people also have work permits who can work legally as a result of that. And so those people might not be waiting for a case at all. They just entered legally and have work permits. And, you know, this is really something that the Biden administration has leaned on as an alternative to just letting those people enter illegally. They've created these legal ways for them to come. And it's really kind of outside of the normal immigration systems that I'm talking about, which is, you know, the family reunification, employer sponsorship, and temporary work permit path. And so they've used those quite significantly at the border and for five countries, Cuba, Nicaragua, Haiti, and Venezuela, as well as Ukraine. Those five countries have ways for people to come directly so they don't have to show up at the border. But those people who come in, they get work permits as well under parole and can work legally through those systems. If you don't have that, if you just cross the border illegally and you didn't apply for asylum, then you're working illegally. There's no, you know, there's no option for you in that case.
Let me take a break. and try to digest some of this, David. I got people texting in. I want to get their questions in as well. The Oakwinard Jeweler Talking text line's open at 504-260-1870. It is a complicated process. Couple of things from the notes I took. People that are trying to get family in that are not a spouse, you're saying they're waiting two or three decades, so the people that are coming into the country illegally are basically cutting a line in front of people that are trying to do it the right way and wait two or three decades. Is that accurate or not?
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
Yes.
And also, when you say parole, and we'll pick it up there, we come back with the Biden administration, that's not necessarily, because of the word, the definition of the word parole, that's not necessarily linked to criminal activity on the part of the person in the country, or is it?
Right. Yeah. Parole in the immigration context just means kind of a temporary release into the United States, similar to, you know, release from prison, but they mean a completely different thing. It has no relationship to criminal activity or even illegal crossing into the country. That's right.
Let's pick it up there. We come back talking to David Beer, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. We're going to spend an hour on this because I think, you know, if we're going to have a discussion about it, we may as well know what the hell we're talking about. It can't hurt, right? 504-260-1870. It is an extremely convoluted process, so there are no dumb questions. Feel free to text them in. I'll pass them along to David. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, we're spending an hour taking a deep dive into immigration, and David Beer, our guest, who is with the Cato Institute, the Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute said he didn't have enough time to tell us about one facet or the other. And I think we could talk about this for like a week and still not understand it all. Maybe if we did PowerPoints and took notes and all of that. Somebody texted in and said, there's 1.1 million individuals that fit the criteria that David's talking about right now. They're working in this country legally for farming and agricultural jobs. There is no shortage of individuals. These conditions, I don't think you were saying that there's a shortage of people that are in the country that are immigrants working the jobs. You're saying there's a shortage of Americans that would do those jobs, correct? David, do you have me on mute, perhaps? David Beer, Cato Institute, do you have me on mute, perhaps? David Beer, do you have me on mute? Apparently we have a problem. Tim, maybe we can call him back, see what happened, and maybe get him back on the line and see what's going on with the immigration situation here, because people are texting in. Somebody texted in and said these so-called immigrants saved us after Katrina. Well, they are immigrants. They're from the other country, but I do understand what you're saying. So, David, what I was asking you is, somebody texted in about individuals that meet the criteria. You're talking about working in a country legally for farming and agricultural. There's no shortage, but you're not saying there's a shortage of people that are in a country legally working the jobs. You're saying there's a shortage of Americans that would do these jobs, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's both. I mean, if you look at what the job openings are, I mean, we are still higher than pre-pandemic, even after all the people have come in. The number of job openings, 8 million, unemployment, 4%. If you look at these industries, I mean, really, they've been facing difficulties finding people, whether immigrant or not, for really the last 4 years.
So another text says Americans would do those jobs if the pay was higher, but they have low pay, which draws the illegals to them because that's the only job they can get. Well, if the jobs paid more, well, then everybody, that would be passed along through the economy, right, and higher prices. And that kind of brings us to the border, pardon the pun, of tariffs and buying American. Accurate or not?
Yeah, but you have to think about what Americans are doing right now. I mean, you can't think about, okay, yes, more Americans would do agricultural work if there were no immigrants here. And that's true. If we have, 50% of the agricultural labor force gets deported in the next 4 years, you will end up with more Americans doing it. The wages will go up a little bit, but ultimately, yes, that'll get passed on to the consumer. But even more important than that, you have to think about what were those Americans doing right now? Well, they have jobs right now. As I mentioned, the employment rate for Americans is 82%. It's basically at record highs. So those Americans are going to go from doing jobs that are higher paying, higher productivity jobs into agriculture, which is lower productivity and lower wages. And so you're not even benefiting the Americans who are going to ultimately be forced into those jobs as jobs get lost. So you lose the jobs that are downstream from whatever the immigrants are doing. So the immigrants are the ones who are picking the crops, and the Americans are the ones being managers or in charge of shipping and whatever the case.
You're talking about with the produce, with the agricultural companies, right? I'm trying to follow you, David. So
yeah.
You're saying that, okay, so you got XYZ cauliflower company, and they, is President-elect Trump talking about deporting the people that are here working legally with work visas, the HB, whatever it was?
No, he's not talking about deporting the people who are here legally. But there are lots of people who are in the field here illegally. And, you know, there are a lot of, you know, people working on farms that are not seasonal here also here
and
illegally.
And packing plants and those kind of things, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at construction. Construction is a good example of this. If you look at construction, immigrants who come in, they're about six times more likely to be doing the unskilled jobs at the construction site compared to Americans
laborers.
Construction laborers, right? And whereas the skilled jobs, the more specialized work, that's much more likely to be done by the U.S. citizen workforce. And so there's a complementarity there. So the immigrants are doing the less skilled jobs and lower paid, lower productivity stuff, and the Americans get to do higher paid, higher productivity jobs, which would be lost if these lower paid workers are deported.
All right, so I got Tucker Farms, okay? And I grow all kinds of stuff, and I depend on illegals to process a lot of it because if I were to pay Americans to do it, the consumers would revolt and I would have stuff maybe going bad on the shelves or consumers couldn't afford it. So if the President-elect Trump were to deport these illegals that are working here now, I would have to take people from Tucker Farms in management positions and get them to do the picking because I couldn't find other Americans to do the jobs for what it would pay?
Absolutely. And we've experimented with this. We've seen this when sweeps have happened and taking people out. You see the farmer and his children, they're out in the fields, they're trying to do as much as they can, and they still can't cover all of the crops that are lost. And so, yeah, we've seen this play out multiple times in the past. Many experiments have been done here, and Americans either completely don't shift or not nearly enough apply for these open jobs, and that results in lower productivity, less stuff making it to the shelves, and ultimately lower paid work for American workers.
So let's talk about the former president's plan and the what it would take to pull off what he's talking about with deporting the illegals that he said. What did he say in his campaign? He would deport whom?
He said, I mean, he didn't put a limit to it.
He said mass
deportation. He ran on mass deportation, which implies it's indiscriminate, that it's not limited to any particular category of person who's in the country illegally. It's anybody who's removable, and he's going to make a lot more people removable as well, people who have legal status now under, you know, the Biden administration's different policies. Are going to lose that legal status and enter the illegal category.
I want to get back to Biden in a minute. Let's talk about President-elect Trump. If this were to happen, what do we have the personnel to do that right now? Whatever law enforcement agencies would be needed? Are people in place that could? What would that look like? I guess is what I'm saying. You study this for a living. What would mass deportation actually look like? On an everyday level, on the street, here or there, wherever.
Look, it's not like this guy wasn't president before, mm-hmm. and it's not like he had different policy. I mean, in his first term, there was no limits placed on Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. They could arrest whoever they wanted. And we didn't end up with, you know, 10 million people being deported. So I don't know where the kind of, you know, fantasy land proposals come from. I think that if the administration comes in here with the military and starts putting up roadblocks all over the country, trying to, you know, shake down every driver's papers, yeah, that's going to round up a lot of people and scare a lot of people off. But I also don't think it's likely. I don't think he's going to do those kind of things because we still have civil liberties in this country. We still respect rights in this country. And so, yeah, I think it's going to look a lot like his first term, maybe with more money, more men, more manpower. But, you know, it's really, if you look at it, President Obama deported a lot more people than Trump did during his 4 years. And, you know, on an annualized basis, you know, not even looking at the 8 years that Obama had. So, again, I'm skeptical that he can do something that's radically different from what we saw in the first term. And, you know, it's not a difference in policy. There will be a difference in focus. I think he will get more money and more help from Congress this time. But at the end of the day, you do have to go out and find people. And that's the hard part. There's no way to just look at someone and say, you're here legally, and I know it. You have to prove it. And that's a lot easier said than done.
Somebody texted in and said 73 million people agree with Donald J. Trump. We never had a problem with workers 5 years ago in the field. Why would we have a problem now? And that's a nice talking point to type up there. But what they're missing is that he didn't do 5 years ago what he is at least promising to do now. Accurate?
Right, exactly. He didn't actually accomplish his goal last time. He knows that, which is why he's asking for more money. He's talking about taking money from the military to pay for it. I mean, these are the types of things that are on the table exactly because it didn't happen last time. And I would beg to differ with the caller on the struggles that farmers were facing in 2019. There were extreme problems that they were having. They were producing a lot less agriculture and food for us than they would have otherwise had legal immigration been easier. And so, it's correct to say he didn't accomplish this last time. I don't think he will this time, but if he did, it would be a much different economic analysis.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. You can work on this text when we come back. Wait, agricultural workers, from my understanding, are almost here legally under H-2A visas. Large agricultural interests are not employing illegals, as to do so would risk their businesses. You can address that when we come back. 940, 20 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. Hi, David Beer is our guest, 948, 12 till 10. He's the Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. So where were we, David? I read that text to you, and I was going to ask you to address it about... Go ahead.
Yeah.
About employee and illegals and H-2As and all that stuff.
Right. So in agriculture, it's really split between seasonal and non-seasonal, like I mentioned. In non-seasonal, you're not eligible for the H-2A, so you're going to be hiring whoever comes down the street. Even in the H-2A program, though, you're required to hire people who, on paper, look like U.S. workers. And if I'm an illegal worker and I borrow my ID from my brother who's got citizenship or whoever, get from the black market, I'm required to hire that person ahead of hiring the person through the H-2A program. And so there are lots of people who are hired who are, in fact, here illegally, who the employer doesn't know they're here illegally or, can't prove that they are, so they have to hire them through those means. So, it's difficult out there if you're an employer. You might want to do everything legally. You might want to totally avoid the illegal market, and you really can't help it at the end of the day.
I don't know how you can, from what you're saying, with the waiting periods and the what would make sense? How did we get to where we are now? I wanted to get back to the Biden administration. What has happened since Joe Biden took office with the immigration situation?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. Obviously, a lot has happened. Mainly it's people crossing the border illegally in great numbers. We've had, obviously, almost 10 million people come to the southwest border. Some of them multiple times. They've been turned away and they come back again. Many of them have been released. Over 4 million at this point have been released into the United States. And many of them, about half, a quarter are children, about half are already working in the United States. So if they're going to prioritize the most recent arrivals, that's what it pretty much looks like.
So just so people understand, if you're born here, you are a U.S. citizen, correct?
Yes. If you're born here, you're guaranteed U.S. citizenship.
So if there are people here that were born here whose parents were illegals and you deport the illegals, then the illegals would either have to choose to take their children with them or you would have to provide some kind of care for the children, because that you can't deport a U.S. citizen for no reason, can you?
Yes, you cannot deport a U.S. citizen. It would be up to the parents whether they bring their kid with them or not. Some do, some don't. There's certainly a lot of U.S. citizen kids growing up in Mexico whose parents were deported from the United States over the last 20 years. So it is something that happens. Some stay with relatives because ultimately the opportunity is is much better here in the United States than it is in their home countries.
So when they get to be adults, these kids that went back with their parents, they are U.S. citizens and they have documentation, so they can be they can come into the country or not?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there are a lot of hundreds of thousands of kids in Mexico and young adults as well who have U.S. citizenship and can come back to the United States whenever they want when they're adults.
David, again, we could talk about this for a week, I think, and give PowerPoints and notebooks and handouts and you know, the sheets with the plastic that lay over the other sheets and everything. But when it comes to before you start deporting people, and I think you and I had this discussion last week, and I'm not trying to be flippant about it, but until you secure the border, this is just a futile exercise because we're talking about Fred Flintstone putting a cat out of the window at night, right?
Yeah, you have people flying out, people coming in. I think everyone agrees. Donald Trump was elected to secure the border and remove the criminal elements who've come in. Beyond that, I think those are the priorities or should be the priorities for the next administration.
So we only got 2 minutes left. What, in your opinion, does a secure border look like? Because that, to me, is the first step. Until you do that, you're just peeing up a rope. You're not accomplishing anything.
Yeah, I mean, a secure border, you got to start with, of course, the Border Patrol and their ability to make arrests and to detain people. But you also have to focus on the legal immigration side, which we've been discussing. I mean, if you have a legal path that's realistic, that, you know, employers in the U.S. understand and the workers understand, then that's a game changer, because then people are, okay, I'm willing to wait. If there's a realistic chance that, you know, I can come, I see my family member come, maybe I don't even bring my family. I just go on my own if there's a legal way to come. I don't need to. So you decrease the number of arrests by four by letting one person come in and work for a while in the United States if their spouse and their kids stay at home. I mean, that's the situation in, you know, large parts of Mexico that have been benefiting from the H-2A guest worker visa. It's all these jobs that aren't eligible for that seasonal agricultural visa.
David, I think I'm gonna ask you to come on every week. We ought to have Immigration 101 every week until we get through this, really, because it's not going to go away. It is a big problem. There are no simple solutions, and there's never enough time to cover it. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Of course.
David Beard, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. Good luck. 9:54, 6 till 10. We'll find out what Noel's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.